Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. Jesus' name. Amen. Speaking of giving, thank you all for giving. Our balance left, we've taken over $17,000 in for our vision fund. We have the fellowship hall. Of course, we had that done earlier last year. We've got the two rooms back here finished and carpeted. And our next project will probably start. We're having a meeting tomorrow night with the vision team, but probably start, if everything goes well, maybe next Sunday for the demolition process. So we appreciate all of you that have taken your vision card and said, I want to be a part of fixing God's house and building God's house and renovating God's house. You are a blessing to the kingdom of God. And for all of you that haven't done that yet, I want to challenge you. You don't want to stand before the Lord when your house looks pretty and His doesn't. Amen? So don't forget to fill out your vision card. Give the best you can and let's complete the task. We want to go ahead when we get the women's room done and these two classrooms, then we want to come in here and put new carpet and finish out the project. So thank you for your faithful giving to the Lord. Today we're going to look at about probably three more gifts. I want to look at the word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and exhortation. And I want to show you just from the scripture, this is in use and what it looks like, a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. So go with me to John, the fourth chapter, and we'll watch Jesus Christ and watch Him actually literally doing both of these, using both of these gifts, a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. How many has ever heard a good word, but it was really delivered poorly? You know, it's like it's good information, but it's like the delivery was just terrible. You know, how many's ever done that? I've done that before, you know, teaching or trying to convey something to someone, and it's like I had probably a good word. And that's why the Bible says, speak the truth in love. And so we need love, but also we need a little knowledge to go along with it, and we need a little wisdom on how to say it. You know, we could feed you a good steak and say, here, take it. Well, it might be a good steak, but it's a poor delivery, isn't it? And so the Bible talks about a word of knowledge. Now, let me read your definitions of these two, because I agree on parts of it, and then parts of it I think they've left out. But the word of wisdom is this. It says the gift of wisdom is a distinctive ability to discern the mind of Christ and apply scriptural truth to a specific situation in order to make the right choices and help others move in the right direction. And so a word of wisdom is more like application. If you get a word of knowledge, how do you apply that word? What would it best be? Sometimes when you're trying to train your children, we could use a word of wisdom on how to present the counsel and the sometimes punishment. You know, do we do it in a loving manner? Do they need a rebuke? What needs to be done here to make this a successful word of knowledge? And I think it has a lot to do with training our children or moving a situation forward. And then a word of knowledge says this. It's the distinctive ability to seek out, gather, organize, and clarify facts, ideals on a number of diverse subjects. And I think that's part of it, but I think there's a part they're leaving out. And the word of knowledge sometimes is just, it's not something you've gathered, it's something God just drops in your spirit. Now, the reason they probably didn't put that in there, because how many knows that's pretty mystical in itself, you know, is to say, when you say, how did you know that? And you say, well, I just knew. God told me. How many knows that when you say, God told me, you get different responses? Now, people know and are used to listening to the Lord and things, then that might be okay, but if they don't know God and they're not sure about God, then they're like, you know, you're kind of wacko, you know. So here's what I do when I get a word of knowledge from God and it's something God drops in my spirit. I try to, because how many knows the flesh is always there? Have you ever got a word from God and you thought, is this God or is this me? Most of us have at times, and then how do you just tell the difference if it's a word of knowledge or if it's just you? Well, usually in my particular case, is what I've found out is, if it's God, it'll be a consistent, ongoing prompting. It won't go away. It just keeps nagging until I do something about it, and then I try to confer that with people that I trust and believe, and I'll bounce it off a few people if it's something big, especially before I just jump into it. I heard one preacher talking about it. It's a different subject, but it's kind of about seeking the face of God, and how do you know when it's God and when it's not, when you're leading a thing. And he said, you know what, you don't have to get in a hurry, because God's just not going to, you know, most of the time, you know, he's not just going to up, and you have to do it today if God said something. You know, when he's told Moses to go and give him a word of knowledge, he spoke to him, but he spoke the word of knowledge to go to Egypt. It didn't happen just that day. You know, he argued a little bit with God, and then he went back, I'm sure, to the camp and prepared, and then and took his journey. But God was still with him along the way. And so a word of knowledge, if it's God, he'll usually keep confirming and bringing it back to you. He'll confirm it with his word. If it's not consistent with this, it cannot be a word of God. He won't go. He won't contradict his word. But here we are, and this is a woman that at the well we know her as, and watch the gifts of these, the gift of wisdom, gift of knowledge at work. Says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. And he needed to go through Samaria. He needed to go through Samaria. Here's a prompting from the Holy Spirit. Here's a word of knowledge. And so he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, about noon. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food, and the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Now I think that's also a word of knowledge, because now he's tying in the spiritual, and he's saying it in such a way that it's convincing to the woman. How many knows that that's a pretty illogical statement? I can give you a drink and you'll never thirst again. I mean, that's not a rational statement, is it? But she's buying into it, and she knows he's got something. So the anointing's there, and the gift is working. Sometimes you don't have to worry about what it's going to sound like if the anointing's on you and God's directing you to say something. I was out at the fair this week, and there was three young men. I went out and sat with a wordless book, it's called, and we had a little booth set up on one of the lanes. I saw Eric and a friend out there walking by, and saw a few of you. But anyway, I was sitting there, and we were sharing this wordless book, and it's got a gold page, and you say, you bring them in the tent and say, "I know a place where there's streets of pure gold." You ever heard of that? And some of the answers was hilarious. Is that New Mexico? No, it's New Mexico. Is it New Mexico? And some of the kids. One of the ladies came in and she sat down with her son, and I said, "You know where the streets of gold is?" And I looked at him and looked at her, and he said, and I think he was the one that guessed maybe Mexico, and she said, "Oh, I've not done my job well, have I? It's streets of gold is in heaven, son." And I said, "Well, you know, let's try the next one." So I opened the next page of the wordless book, and it's red. And he said, I said, "Do you know what this represents?" And the young man said, "The blood of Jesus." I said, "There you go, Mom, you're doing better than you thought." And so it was a real relief to her. In fact, he came back and he got one of the wordless books about 15, 20 minutes later. He said, "Do y'all have an extra one of those? I'd like to take one." And the director says, "What are you going to do with that?" And he said, "I'd like to share this with my friends." And so just by sharing this with him and not getting too critical on how to share. Then we had another group of guys come in. There's three of them, and I sat them down and I was telling them about, they didn't have a clue. They're the ones that was guessing New Mexico and Fort Knox, you know, and they're just going off. And one of them said, is this religious stuff? I said, "Well, this is the book of the Word of God." And he said, "I'm an atheist, and this, you're just like talking to a brick wall right now." And I said, "Well, how about you two guys? Are you atheists?" And one of them didn't say nothing. The other one said, "No, I'm not." And I so at that time, what do you do? Well, you're kind of like Jesus at the well. You need these gifts. You need to say, "You know what? What do you want me to say, Lord?" Now, here's one thing I know he does not want you to do. He doesn't want you to panic.
They're atheists.
Well, they just told me that. Yeah, they're atheists. You know, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish. And so they, you know, you don't get excited and think, oh, they're atheists. Well, I'm a Christian. Nice to meet you, atheist. God loves you. God died for you. So anyway, we're talking. I said, well, would you mind just to sit and listen while your friends receive? And I said, you know, it's okay. And he kind of looked at his friend, I noticed. And so anyway, I just began to share the rest of the story with them about the blood of Jesus and the sin that separates us. And I said, do you know if you died today, would you go to heaven? And there's like, no. And I said, well, if there really is such a place, would you like to go? And they said, well, yeah. And I said, well, would you like to pray today? Because if you sincerely pray to God right now from your heart and believe this, what I'm going to lead you in, you can go to heaven. And I looked at the atheist. I said, how about you? I said, what if I'm right and you're wrong? Wouldn't you like to go to heaven and miss hell? Well, yeah. He's an atheist, but he's not stupid, was he? I said, well, just in case there is a God. I said, because I believe if you'll pray this prayer sincerely from your heart and ask Him into your heart, that He'll reveal Himself to you. See, it's His obligation. He's obligated Himself to speak to His children, and I think He'll reveal Himself to you if you'll pray with us. And he looked over at his buddy as he was getting ready to pray. He said, I thought you was an atheist too. His buddy's no dummy. He just said, I'm praying. He said, I'm praying. Now, it's kind of comical, but you know what? When there's lives hanging in the balance, you need a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. Because there's all kinds of things you could say or should not say. And so these three young men, and so anyway, after we talked to them for a little while, they were all ready to pray, and I led them in the sinner's prayer. And they prayed. And then right after they came in, two other young, nice young men came in, but had never prayed the prayer of faith. And so it was easier with them, and I just led them in the sinner's prayer, and they thanked me. And so it's kind of like in our real life, is why I'm sharing that with you. In our real life, these things we need on a daily basis, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. Now, the good thing is you can obtain knowledge and wisdom, because it says in James 1:5, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. How many know some people, they need to start asking? I mean, sometimes it's you. You need to start asking. Jan and I were out the rodeo the other night. It's hilarious. This clown was telling us the deal, and I thought about, you know, some of the people we know, we think, Bubba, you need to ask. You know, you need some wisdom. And he told a funny little story. He said to his little boy, and he said he was had gone to bed, and of course had went to the restroom, got the water and all that stuff, and then Dad put him to bed, and he says, Daddy, I need a drink. I need a glass of water. He said, no, son, you're not getting any. Shut up and go to sleep. He said, a few minutes went by. I said, Daddy, I need a glass of water. I'm thirsty. He said, son, you're not getting any water. Shut up and go to sleep. He's asking him again, you know, Daddy. And he says, finally the dad was frustrated. He said, son, if I come in there, I'm going to give you, we give whoopings in Oklahoma. I'm going to give you a whooping. And so there was a little silence, and finally the young man said, Daddy, when you come in here to give me a whooping, would you bring me a glass of water? That just cracked me up. I thought, I was studying this lesson, been meditating on it that day, and I thought, that's Bubba right there, isn't it? Just Bubba. You know, but you have not because you asked about it. You know, I'll take the whooping, just bring me some water. And that's why we feel like sometimes Jesus was here at the well, and he says, you know, I could give you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said unto her, whoever drinks this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Now watch what Jesus said. He's got a word of knowledge, but it's really important that when we get a word of knowledge, that we use it appropriately. That's like sometimes when you're talking scripture and you haven't really invested in someone's life. A lot of times that's not going to work. We need a word of wisdom on how to apply. Jesus used different methods and different things all throughout his ministry. And he says to her, "Go call your husband and come here." Now, keep in mind, he probably already knows that she's not married and that she doesn't, she's living with a guy in sin. But he doesn't start out saying that, does he? Because now he's got a word of knowledge, but he's going to use wisdom, and he's going to make the best of this situation. I think it was a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom that I was able to lead the atheist along with the other two in the sinner's prayer. Because I don't know what they're thinking or what their thoughts are, but how many knows the Holy Spirit does? He knows what they're thinking. Same way when you're trying to be effective in the witnessing to other people, just being a light and what have you. Sometimes God may have you around people and He don't want you to say anything for a long time. He just wants you to be a light. He just wants you to be the same every day when you come in, not to change. And so they can see you and you can earn the right then to speak into their lives. Sometimes God will introduce you to people, and I've had people introduced to me before, and God prompted me almost immediately to speak into their life. But you know, you have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to do that. And so he says, "Go and call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And this is where now he starts using the word of knowledge that God has given. "You have said, 'Well, I have no husband, for you have five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly.'" Now, how many knows if that's you, that's going to be quite a shocker when somebody says to you. Now, that is mystical. There's no way around that. He didn't know her background, had no way of knowing her. That's from the Holy Spirit. And I think that's what they left out of this definition when they were giving. It's more than just gathering knowledge. It's when God drops knowledge in your heart so that people can be saved and He can be glorified and they can be brought out of darkness into His marvelous light. Remember what we talked about when we were talking about gifts? All of these gifts are to glorify God and to edify and build people. That's all. That's why we should desire these gifts, is because of what it accomplishes in the kingdom of God. And so that's what he's getting ready to do. And she says, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." You know, he's spoken to her life. He's revealed something that God has revealed to him in an appropriate manner. And then she talks about the Father's worshiping on this mountain. And he says, you know, you don't even know what you worship. And so, anyway, the disciples come back. Look in verse 28. "The woman then left her water pot, went her way to the city and to the men, and said, 'Come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did.'" Now that's an exaggeration, isn't it? But you know what? That's the way that people feel when you get a word of knowledge from God and you speak something into their life and their heart that's a fact, and they know that there is no other way for you to know except by the Holy Spirit. I believe we can be very effective, just like Jesus, with a word of knowledge if we just listen. Have you ever called someone? I remember calling one of our sister-in-laws one time, and she'd just been on my heart, got prompted in my heart, and I called her, and I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "Well, I've been back in my bedroom crying. It's been a rough time," and we talked a while, and I prayed over her. That's a word of knowledge. It's a word of knowledge to help somebody else. And it's kind of funny because next time, you know, not long after that, she thought I would call because she was having a bad day. I mean, those, you can't do that. You can't turn that word of knowledge on. Now, you can seek wisdom and you can seek counsel and you can gain knowledge. But when what God is doing here today, or Jesus is doing here through the Father, is a word of knowledge. Is something from the throne. And that, I believe, is still available for you and I today to make us effective witnesses for the kingdom of God. But we've got to listen. Have you ever started off with a good word and you thought, well, this is going to be, they need to hear this, and I'm going to give them a word, I think they really need it, and it just kind of went south from there, it went bad? Huh? That might have been a word of knowledge, but it may lack a little wisdom on how you gave it. Now, not always, but you know, the chances are, if it went terribly wrong, then probably it was more of there's more flesh involved than spirit, probably. Because I believe this is how we tell that it's a word of wisdom, is there fruit in it? A word of knowledge, is there consistent fruit in what you're saying? Is people coming back to you? You know, people that are always giving out a word of knowledge, this is what I'd ask of them, and that is this. You know, they always have a word for somebody. How's the fruit process going? Is people constantly coming back to you and saying, boy, you know that word you gave me, that God just blessed God? Or do you hardly ever have anyone come back to you and say? Maybe you've never had anyone come back to you and say. That's really important, because it's hard to know, isn't it? If you're really following God's will, because it's easy to give out a general word. Some churches that I've been to, everybody has a word. And how many knows that? This is what I believe. I believe that you and I are ordained to seek God for our own word. How many knows the mediator is Jesus, the Holy Spirit? It shouldn't be somebody else. It should be you seeking God. Now, God may confirm something to you or confirm something to me, and I love confirmation. Get a word and it's confirmation. That's great, isn't it? That's a great word. When I was praying one time as a young Christian about my family, and an evangelist came in and gave me a confirming word for my family. Boy, that was a blessing. Didn't know me and gave me a word of confirmation. That is powerful. A word of knowledge came. It confirmed where I'm at and what I'm doing. And so she goes and she says to them, and so verse 30, then they went out of the city and came to him, and then look over in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word the woman who testified. He told me that all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. And all this started because of one woman in one place, and a word of knowledge came, and then how to apply that came. And he used that, and so several people in that city were saved. That's the power of word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Now look with me in Acts, the 5th chapter, and I'll show you something that's not as comfortable, but it's very powerful about the word of knowledge. And this is facts that cannot, again, like I said, cannot be gathered. These are promptings from the Holy Spirit that'll come to you and to me. And this one might be a little bit harder. How many knows if God told you to tell someone through a word of knowledge that if they don't answer correctly, he's probably going to take them out that day? How many say that would be a pretty awesome event? That's what happens. Watch this in Acts chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold possessions, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourselves? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And so here's a word of knowledge from Peter. And Ananias has come in and he said to Peter, we sold this parcel of land and here's all the money. Because he wanted to make a showing. He'd seen his brother do that, and one of the other brothers do that, sold a piece of land, brought all the proceeds in. So he conspires with his wife and says, well, now let's sell the land and we'll keep a part back. But let's tell them this is what we got for the land. And they presented this gift to God, but they lied about the amount. And remember, this is the new church forming. And I'm glad that God is not quite as short with us today, aren't you? Someday I would look at you and say, now did you give all your tithe? And how many knows if you knew if you lied you would die, you would tell the truth? Well, not exactly all of it. I did hold back a little. I mean, that would be a strenuous thing, wouldn't it? But this is a new church, and he says, you know, I'm not going to have. So Ananias, hearing these words, verse 5, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. Now, that's key, that sentence. Great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young man arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. And that was about the 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what happened. Peter answered and said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. And Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. Now watch. Here's the fruit of the word of knowledge. This is a terrible thing. Two people have died in Peter's office on the same day because of a lie. Because of a word of knowledge that the Holy Spirit had given him. But watch what happened. Here's the fruit of the working of the gift of word of knowledge. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all those who heard these things. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And so, verse 14, and the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Is a tough thing, but it was a word of knowledge. And the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, it brings fruit, doesn't it? And sometimes what we have to say is hard, but it brings fruit. I've told this testimony about to a young man that used to work for me when I was in construction. I told him one day after witnessing to him and being a light, I said, you know, God is going to lift his hand of protection from around you. He just spoke into my spirit, if you don't turn your heart over to him. And he said, well, don't tell me that. And I said, well, I'm just telling you what I feel like God's impressed me to say. And if I don't tell you, then I'm accountable. And so a few months later went by, and he didn't turn his life over to the Lord. And I believe God lifted his protecting hand, and he wound up in McAllister, Oklahoma, and spent a time and a season in McAllister, Oklahoma. Probably several months, maybe a few years went by, and he and his wife came in one night, and I was privileged to lead them to the Lord. There's fruit when you're speaking into people's life, a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. There's fruit in it. Now that took a long time to see the fruit of that, but you know what? He believed and he saw that what was spoken to him was true. A word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. Listen, church, you and I need these gifts working in our lives. There's people going to hell that we know, and we need these working in our lives. We need to not only have a word of knowledge on what they need to hear, but we need to have a word of wisdom on how to apply what we have received from the Lord. I believe this, if when we don't have wisdom and understanding, how many knows it creates fear in our life? Some of you are scared to death of computers. I used to work out at, when I was first started this church, I worked out at a little box factory, and they computerized the whole plant. And they had some of the older workers in there that they just wouldn't touch them. They wouldn't mess with them. They wouldn't, because they didn't think they could. They were afraid of computers. I don't know how to do that, and I'm not, you know, it's like they couldn't learn or something. And what happens is when you have a lack of knowledge of something, it creates fear in us, doesn't it? Some of you are scared to death of horses. You know? It is because you don't have a working knowledge of what makes them tick. And I've got a friend, and he tried horses for a while, and it just scared him to death. And he used to just duke it up all the time. If he was ready, he was ready. But he'd get on a horse and he was out of control because he didn't have a working knowledge about horses and how to handle them and how to, deal with them. In fact, I'll say this, with your horse, you need to have a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. You may know what stop means and what go means, but if you don't know when to apply those two, you're in trouble. You're just in trouble. And life is like that. We need a word of knowledge, but we need a word of wisdom. So these two, you know, if you lack wisdom, ask. And Proverbs talks about wisdom and gaining wisdom and gaining knowledge and seeking it and gaining understanding. And so if there's a fear in a part of your life, that fear of the relationship being broken or fear of losing a loved one to death or, you know, whatever it may be, confront that and get knowledge and get understanding and ask God to give you wisdom so you don't walk around. God has not given us the spirit of fear. The power and love and a sound mind. And so there's no reason for you to walk around and me to walk around in fear because we lack understanding or knowledge of a situation. He's given us peace, hasn't He? Great peace He's left with us. Couple of things that I would say you need to watch. One, if God gives you a word of wisdom and uses you, you just need to remember pride can come in. It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit. In Acts the 12th chapter, we're in Acts, so just look over here. Let me show you a little something here. God doesn't take, He doesn't take kindly to sharing His glory with you and me. Did you know that? He may give you the glory, but He wants to give it to you, and He wants to give you the honor. And when we start taking that ourselves, because God has used us in some fashion or form, and we think we're getting pretty smart now. We think we're doing, we're just pretty sharp now because God used us in a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and something went just really well. It just, don't let pride come in. Look in Acts 12 and verse 20. Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, his friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on the throne and gave an oration to them. The people kept shouting, "The voice of a God, not of man." Then immediately, and because he didn't stand up and give God the glory, then immediately the angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms. Now watch. Watch the fruit. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Sometimes you think, well, you know, what we need to do is just have God strike somebody and eat up worms and our church would grow. I mean, those are the easier ways. Just give God glory. You know, give Him the glory. And let's grow and go for Him. Now, in a word of knowledge, one of the things I would maybe give a little warning about or a check about is this. Is your word of knowledge consistent with the Word of God? It has to be consistent with God's Word. You know, if you get up in a hateful attitude and, well, God told me and you said, and that is, how many know that is inconsistent with the Word of God? You know, Jesus walked in and ran them out of the temple with a whip, but never said he was screaming and yelling at them. I mean, he walked in and did God's bidding, and that was fine. But he didn't take an attitude and cop an attitude with them. So it has to be consistent with God's Word, and there needs to be fruit along with that. Now, let's look at the gift of exhortation. And some of you have that, and the gift of exhortation says the distinctive ability to appropriately communicate words of encouragement, challenge, or rebuke in the body of Christ. And for this one, I want to go to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. This is just Paul, and he's exhorting to young Timothy, but it's a beautiful expression of that gift. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. And he tells young Timothy, he says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And he's just, you know, he's giving him instruction, exhorting to him about his life. You know, don't, you're young, and Timothy, and people's going to come. And, you know, young man, I've been here in this church longer than you were born, and what have you. But he says, you know what, don't worry about them. So he's exhorting confirmation over his gifts. He's exhorting comfort to him. And he says, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all." Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And so, he's coming with an exhortation of encouragement. Yeah, you're young, but you know what? God is using you, and you stay on track, and you stay in the Word, and continue these things, and watch God do things. And then don't forget, you're going to win not only yourself, but you're going to win others along the way. I mean, notice if you're coming into maturity just a little bit, you don't think about just yourself anymore. You think about taking somebody with you to heaven. Or at least we should. We should have that in mind in our daily walk, that we not only want to go, but we want someone else to go with us. That's what impressed me the other day when that young man came back and said, "Can I have one of those books?" I thought, isn't that neat? Another teenager wanting to share the gospel with his friends. He didn't know where Streets of Gold was, but you know what? He knew now, and he was wanting to share that with his friends. And so, a word of exhortation. And some of you are really good at the word of exhortation. You can take a situation and you can begin to speak into it and paint pictures of what could happen. And it's almost like leadership, except for probably you don't lead the charge. You're just kind of like the gasoline maybe on the fire to ignite and to help and to change a situation, to turn it around a little bit. And some of you are very good at that. And so, here's what we have to watch in the gift of exhortation, is we have to check our motives to make sure that they're correct. How many has ever convinced somebody to do something that was wrong? Let me see. Me and Adam and Haley. Yeah. Here's what I know. Everybody that has the gift of exhortation, a gift of leadership kind of mixed in with that, but you have the ability to influence others to do whatever it is that you feel like needs to be done. You do. You have that ability. You can see it on the playground when you see a bunch of kids gather up and they're all over huddled, and then one of them begins to lead as the gift of exhortation. He's told them why we're going to do it and how we're going to do it and how much fun it's going to be. And all of a sudden, the kids just follow. I had that ability when I was little. You know, I mean, I could get in a group of kids and I would just begin to tell them, let's do this. And here's what, sometimes it was trouble, but sometimes it was good stuff. But but you know what? When we grow up and we get grown, we need to watch our motives, don't we? Because we still have that same ability. The gifts and the call of God is irrevocable without repentance. So the gift's going to stay, but we need to make sure that what we're leading and why we're leading it is correct. One of my latest things is the gift of exhortation is the renovation of this church. And to be honest with you, when we started the renovation, I thought, God, when God started prompting my heart about this, I thought, I'd love to remodel your home, but, we're just kind of, our budget's tight, and so we're just thinking about meeting the budget, not renovating your house. And so he began to prompt me to lead in a giving effort. And so I wrestled with that because I thought, well, what if that's me? And so that I wrestled with it and wrestled with it, and then finally I bounced it off some of our leaders that are active members of this church, and they said, you know what, Pastor, I believe that's God, and we'll support that. And then we had another couple go ahead and give what I was talking about, and leave me, and another confirmation came in, and it was like, oh. But I'm telling you, when you're leading people and leading situations, if you have that gift, Winston Churchill, great example, when they were being attacked and their nation looked like they would be defeated, he stood up and he began to just speak and exhort to his people. And they believed that what he was saying was true. Had things changed? Not really. But he changed it because he began to get up and speak victory in the name of Jesus. Ronald Reagan is one that had the gift of exhortation. He could just get up and it just, you just thought when Ronald was through, everything's going to be all right. And he could just speak to them and exhort the people around him. He said, I heard a guy saying when Ronald's plane would land and he's coming home at the White House, all the people in the White House would say, "Daddy's home." Yeah. He had the gift of exhortation. He could encourage, or he could rebuke, or he could lead and convince people. And so, if that's your gift, it's a wonderful gift. It's a wonderful gift, but you need to check your motives from time to time and say, is this God, or is this me? Is this God, or is this me? Is this what God wants? Because I think if God is prompting me, I can do it, and I believe I can if He's not. But I don't want to go there. I want to make sure it's God. And for the kingdom of God and for His glory. All right, those three we'll look at today, and that'll wrap this one up. We're going to do a water baptism. We'll ask them to get ready right quick. Let's pray. Father, use us in these gifts. Lord, wisdom is attainable through asking, through searching. In the book of Proverbs, just get wisdom, get understanding. And so you've shown us in your word that it's attainable. We can get that through study and discipline. But Lord, there's times when we need a word of wisdom. We need to know what to do and how to do it. There's times, Lord, when we're witnessing that we don't know. There's times that we are having to make a vital decision and we don't know. I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help us to begin to believe in you and believe in the gifts, and to stop and say, Lord, I need a word of knowledge. I need to know your mind in this situation. And in difficult situations, like we looked at today with the woman at the well, the Ananias and Sapphira, in difficult situations, we can find the mind of God. We can find a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. And you can turn times of panic into times of peace and times of fruit. When the enemy has come to destroy, you can turn it around and use it for your good and for your glory. If we just take time to stop and ask, and to seek your counsel and seek your face. So help us, Lord, in our busy schedules, in our busy days, in our busy times, to just begin to stop and say, Lord, I need a word of knowledge. I need a word of wisdom. And I'm just going to listen to you until I hear. I'm just going to trust you, Lord, and I'm going to follow your promptings and your leadings. I believe, Lord, you want to speak to all of us in this way. If we just take time to listen. But stop stressing and stop thinking we have to do it all. Sometimes we don't have to do anything. Just listen to you and you'll give us direction and knowledge and wisdom. So help us, Lord, to grow a little today. To stop stressing and start believing and start seeking you. For all those, Lord, that have the gift of exhortation, I pray over them today, and I pray over myself, and I pray that help us to keep our motives pure and to check them often to make sure this is you and the thing we're leading or the thing we're trying to champion, that this is you and it's of God and it's good. And it's good for everybody. It's not just good for me and what I want, but this is the will of God for this situation. This will glorify you and it will bring edification to the rest of the people involved. And then help us to march victoriously in that gift and lead the charge for you, for the betterment of the kingdom, in the name of Jesus. Amen.